Jesus' name, amen. We began a few weeks ago looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians. And 1 Thessalonians is a book that represents a church that the Apostle Paul had been to, had started, had been involved in. And he is now writing back to that church and talking to them about ministry. It's a church in an area where Paul actually had to sneak out in the middle of the night because the people of the city were going to kill him. So they lowered him out in a basket, and he snuck off in the night and went to the next city. If he had stayed there, probably by the next day he would have been dead. But God had protected him. God had watched over him. God had allowed him to leave that city. Those same people who were attacking him while he was in the city are now attacking him now that he is gone. Not much unlike our presidential elections. Do you remember a while back they said that they were going to keep above and just, you know, do positive things, and that didn't really last very long, did it? Well, they're attacking the Apostle Paul. They're trying to, they know that if they can ruin Paul, if they could destroy his testimony, they know that they could then destroy the message. Ruin the messenger and the message is gone. And they hated the message of the gospel. They hated Jesus Christ. So even though Paul's now gone, they're still attacking him. So Paul writes back, and he defends his ministry. In the first six verses of this chapter, he had kind of defended his ministry in a negative way. Kind of said, here's the things they're attacking me on, but I want you to know all these things are false. Now beginning in verse 7, he's going to continue to defend his ministry, but he's going to do so in a positive way. In fact, in verse 7 through verse 12, he relates ministry to parenting. And he tells us, look, here's how a mom is, and here's how a dad is, and I want you to know how a mom and dad are in relation to their children. So in relation to ministry, we should have that very same relationship to those we minister to. You know, think about it. A church is a ministry. And if you come to this church, you ought to be involved in ministry. In some way or another, there ought to be things you should be doing to serve and minister to other people, to pour out your life into the lives of other people. We live in a society that is very much selfish. And they kind of look at the world in a way that says, well, let me see what's good for me, and whatever's good for me, that's what I'm going to do because it's good for me. But for the Christian, we ought to be reaching out from our life into the lives of other people and ministering or serving them. Now, Paul says, look, here's how you are to do that. And he first talks about the relationship of a mother to her children and then the relationship of a father to his children. Now, we're going to look at these illustrations. As we look at them, you might say, you know what? My mom and dad were never like that. You may even say, as a mom and dad, you're not like that. But Paul talks in relationship to what a mom and dad ought to be like. And he begins with a mother. So let's notice these two illustrations. The first one is the illustration of motherhood. Consider ministry as it's illustrated by motherhood. And in these verses, he gives us three things about a mom's relationship to her children that should be true of our ministry as individuals and as a church. I'm actually going to begin in verse 6. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. Well, you notice, first of all, that ministry should be a gentle ministry. It was a gentle ministry. The word gentle relates to kindness. If we were to look at its opposite, the opposite of gentle would be harsh. So Paul's saying, as I ministered to you while I was there in Thessalonica, my ministry was a gentle a kind ministry. And to illustrate that a little bit further, he says it is the kind of ministry a mother would have for her children. The word that is used for mother here is not just any word for mother, but it refers to a mother who is nursing. So to a nursing mother. Paul says, look, when I was there, I was gentle among you, just like a nursing mother would be gentle to the child that she is nursing. He cared for them. A word that indicates the idea of warmth. A mother warming its child. We were on vacation this past week, and we were kind of trying to watch the weather so we can know, you know, what we're going to do each day. There were some indoor things, and there were some outdoor things we had planned on doing. So we were looking for a warm day that we could go down on the beach, Virginia Beach, and walk the shoreline. So we picked our day we were going to go. It was Thursday, and we thought, let's go down to the beach, and we'll walk the shoreline. Well, they said the weather was supposed to be up in the 60s, and, you know, it should be a nice sunny day to go walking the beach. So Connie and I went down to the beach, and we got out to the boardwalk, and the lady told us the boardwalk is 3 miles long. So we thought, you know what, we're going to have a great walk here. We get out to the boardwalk. We look left. We look right. We looked at each other and said, we're freezing. Let's go back to the car. And that's as far as our Virginia Beach walk went. We ended up in an aquarium and spent the afternoon there. You know, think of when you were cold. In fact, think when you were a child and you were cold. As we were thinking about walking on the beach, one of the things I thought about, I don't know why it came to my head, maybe because Dunmore was playing Riverside in football, but I thought about the time I took Amy, my brother and my father were there, and I took Amy with us to watch a game. I think Dunmore was playing Berwick when we went. And as we were sitting there, it was freezing cold. And Amy kept turning to me and saying, Dad, my feet are cold. So I picked her up in my lap and I put my hands around her boots and tried to warm her. That's this word. Paul's saying, while I was there among you, I cared for you the same way a nursing mother would care for her children. I cared for you in the sense that just like a mom might want to warm her child that she's feeding, that is the way I related to you in ministry. Every so often I hear about a church that just is really harsh, just really treats people terribly. Every so often you hear about a Christian maybe relating to another Christian or maybe even sometimes relating to this world, and they just treat people harshly. Paul says if you want to minister to other people, if you want to serve other people, the way that you need to do that is with gentleness, with kindness, with caring. Now, it doesn't mean that we never confront sin. It doesn't mean that sometimes we need to be straightforward and deal with things and we need to tell the truth. But Paul says as we do that, there ought to be a gentleness about our ministry, caring for people, the way that Paul cared for this church in Thessalonica, like a mother caring for her nursing child. Why don't you notice the second thing about a mother's relationship to her children that Paul mentions here? Notice verse 8. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. It was a gentle ministry. It was a loving ministry. The word that is used here is a very strong word for affection. Paul's saying, we loved you very, very much. In fact, this word that is used here is a word that is used of a mother standing by the gravesite of her child. Standing next to that gravesite and in her heart and in her mind, having a longing to see that child again. Paul says the longing that we had for you is the same as that mother would have for her dead child. It was a loving ministry. One of the things that we did on vacation was to go to the Naval What was it called? The naval, what? The naval base. That's a base is a big word. That's why I couldn't remember it. We went to the naval base, and, I wanted to go see the ships. And as we were driving up, we saw what looked like an aircraft carrier, and I've always wanted to see an aircraft carrier because it's just so big. So we drove up to the front gate, and we're stopped by a Marine with a gun, and then a cop came out a little bit after that with a gun, and he said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yeah, we want to go and look at the ships." "Nope, can't do that. You got to turn around." I said, "Man, I can't at least look at one of them." "Nope, you can't do that. You got to take the tour." All right. So we get on this tour, the tour bus, with a Marine. And I don't know if you've ever heard stories about the way Marines love the guys in the Navy and the way the Navy guys love the guys in the Marine. No, he was a Navy guy. So on this tour, the Navy guy was telling us about the Marines. And every derogatory term he could think of, that was a Marine. And, I mean, he was just really wanting to, lay everything he could on the Marines. And so we're going through this tour, and we got to see these ships. It wasn't an aircraft carrier. It was a Marine amphib ship, which looks like an aircraft carrier, and my untrained eye called it an aircraft carrier. But they took us through all this tour, and all this, the whole time, he was talking and making fun of the Marines. Until one point. We got around to one point on the tour, and this guy who was in the Navy for 7 years, and he plans on being there for 20, he said about the Marines of his first tour over in Iraq. He said, "We're the guys to get the Marines in and get them out safely." He said, "In fact, on my first tour in Iraq," he said, "we brought every single Marine home." And he kind of paused and had a smile on his face. And then he said, "On my second tour of duty in Iraq, we had 3 Marines get killed by an IED. He said, "I talked with those 3 Marines the day before at dinner." He said, "I knew them." It's like all the making fun of all the Marines and, busing them all this whole trip, all of a sudden it died. And you can see in this Navy guy's eyes his love for the Marines. And then he said, "You know, when we're at port, we love to fight with one another. But when we're out at war, we're one." And he loved those Marines. He longed for them. He cared about those 3 guys they had lost. Paul says, "You know what?" He said, "I have a longing for you, and I have a concern for you, and I have a care for you. I have a love for you, just like a mother would who's longing to see her child that she has lost in death. That's the same kind of love I have for you." You know, sometimes people say, "If it weren't for people, I'd love the ministry." I want you to know that's a totally wrong view of ministry. Ministry is all about people. All about people with their sinfulness, all about people with their mistakes, all about people with their inadequacies, all about people that do things that may be driving nuts, but it's all about people. And sometimes I hear people say, "You know what, you got to get involved in ministry, but you got to be detached." In one of my books, when I was in college, Telling Me How to Pastor, a book written by a guy by the name of Homer Kent, he wrote in his book that a pastor should never touch anybody. And that whenever you talk to a woman or a man, make sure you call them Mr. and Mrs. That was that detachment from ministry, detachment from people. Paul says that's not the way ministry should be. Ministry is about loving people. Ministry is about caring for people. Ministry is about reaching out to people. It's not about the general things. It's about specifically reaching out to people. And if you have a love like that, then it's going to cause you to do 2 things. Notice Paul says, "Because I loved you, there were 2 things that I shared with you." First one's the gospel. Notice that in verse 8. "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God," and then he goes on to talk about something else. He said, "Look, because we loved you, we shared with you the gospel." What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. That Jesus died for our sin, that he took our place, that he was then buried, and then he literally bodily rose from the dead, that when we place our faith and trust in what he did, we will be saved from our sin, the slate completely wiped clean, and we could have a relationship with God the Father and go to heaven. Paul said, because I loved you so much, I shared the gospel with you. Now understand, for Paul to share the gospel with the Thessalonians meant that he was taking a chance that he would be killed. But he loved them so much, he had to share with them the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, he said the thing that compelled him to share the gospel was the love of Christ. He had understood the love of Christ. He had understood the love of God. God poured his love down in his heart. And as he looked at people, he now began to look at them from God's point of view. How do you look at people when they are cutting you off when you're driving? How do you look at people when they do something maybe, I don't know, at Walmart and they, you know, just come and walk in front of you? How do you view people when people are, you know, just doing something that's getting on your nerves? Paul said he viewed people from the love of Christ, that he cared about them and he loved them. And therefore, he was willing to share the gospel with them, the good news of Jesus Christ. Notice not only the gospel, but he says, but also our lives. The word life here is literally soul. He's literally saying, I share with you my soul, my life, my very breath. That's real ministry. Real ministry is sacrificial. Real ministry is willing to sacrifice your time, your talent, your treasure to reach out in the lives of other people because you love them, because you've understood the love of God, and you want to reach out and serve somebody else. Literally sharing your life, sharing your heart, sharing your breath, sharing your soul as a mother would for her child. You know, you don't have to ask a mother to get out of bed in the middle of the night if she hears her child crying. I don't know if you've seen that commercial. There's a new commercial on TV. And on this commercial, they hear a scream and the mother wakes up and turns to her husband and says, did you hear that? I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it's basically that she can tell from the kind of scream what her child needs. And that's probably true. Mom's willing to get up in the middle of the night. Mom's willing to go anywhere for her children. Paul says, look, I loved you just the way a nursing mother would love her child. It wasn't a detachment from people, but it was a loving ministry that cared about people. So whether it's singing a song, as Shannon did so beautifully this morning, or whether it's the ladies up being part of the praise team, and or whether you're teaching a class, or whether it is whatever that you're doing, it ought to come from a heart that's just so full of the love of God that you want to reach out to other people in love because you care about them. The other night, last Saturday, I was watching the Penn State Ohio State football game. And my son-in-law is from Ohio. And it's just, you know, Ohio State nut. And so I was looking forward to be able to go on vacation. And Amy and Jared came up and they spent the first few days with us. And I was looking forward to being able to watch the game with my son-in-law. He's just one of those guys that just really goes nuts during a game and jumps off his chair. And just couldn't wait to do that. Well, he was being quiet all through the game. Of course, Penn State won. And, you know, he's just being quiet, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, I just want to have a little fun and rub it in a little bit. And then I thought, you know, his team is losing. Is that what I really want to do? And I thought, nah, I'm just going to take a step back and just enjoy the game and watch it with him. And so that's what I ended up doing. And the thing that caused me to do that is just because I care about them. And it was enough for Penn State to beat them. So I just kind of took a step back. Yeah, you care about people and love people. Paul's ministry was a loving, caring ministry. I want you to notice the third thing. It was a hard-working ministry. It was a hard-working ministry. Verse 9. Surely remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to you or to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. A hard-working ministry says we work night and day. You ever hear the dumb guys who make the dumb questions to women? They say something like this. Do you work or do you stay at home? Now, why don't you know if you're a guy, never ask that question. That's just a dumb question. Some of the stay-at-home moms are some of the hardest-working moms, hardest-working women there are. Now, not if you sit around and watch soap operas all day, but most women who stay at home and are part of raising children, they work very hard. In fact, you know, over the years, I have talked to ladies who said they were going to go out and get a job because they were so tired of raising their children, not in a bad way. They were just tired, and they knew that, you know, it was just a hard job. It took a lot of work. It was a night and day thing. It didn't end at the end of the day. It went basically 24 hours a day. Paul uses three words, three phrases here to describe his hard work. The first word is the word toil. It is a word that strictly means a beating. It speaks of an exhausting physical, emotional labor, work, toil. Ministry is tiring. It's tiring mentally, physically, and spiritually. Second word he uses here is the word hardship. It speaks of a strenuous struggle. In the end being weakness and exhaustion as a result of the hard work. And then he says he worked day and night. He worked day and night. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:27, I've labored in toil and have often gone without sleep. Paul worked preaching the gospel. He worked in starting the church. And while he was doing that, he was working a secular job. He made tents. So all day long, he would be there making tents so he could earn a living. And when he was done with that, at night, he would go to the temple courts and he would preach the gospel. So he would not be a burden to the people. Does that mean that every pastor ought to work two jobs? No, it doesn't mean that. And that's not what Paul's saying, but there are times when pastors do work two jobs, and there are many pastors that work two jobs for many, many years just so they won't be a burden to their church. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Why did he do that? Because he loved them. And he didn't want in any way anyone accuse him that he was there just so he can make money, and even though he had done that, they accused him of that very thing. And Paul says, I didn't do that. Ministry is hard work. And we must be willing to work hard for those people that we love. Ministry should never be given to God when it is only your leftovers. You know, after you're done with your spouse, after you're done with your kids, after you're done with your grandkids, after you're done with your nieces and nephews, after you're done with your job, after you're done with your hobbies, well, if there's any time left, then I'll give that to God. That's not what ministry is supposed to be all about. Ministry is hardworking. Well, I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, that we need to consider ministry as illustrated by fatherhood. Consider ministry as illustrated by fatherhood. And there are two things here. First of all, it was an example of rich ministry. It was an example of rich ministry. Notice verse 10. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. He says, you know what? As I write back to you, you know, because you were witnesses. You know what my life was like. It was holy, which is a word that relates to one's relationship to God. It speaks of one who has a regard for God's word and lives in light of God's word. So Paul says, in relationship to God, my life was holy. Second word is the word righteous. It's a word that speaks of integrity, speaks of our relationship to each other. He's saying, not only was my life right with God, but my life was right with you. I did the right thing. Didn't mean that everyone liked him. They still were trying to kill him. But as far as he was concerned, he was doing the right thing. And then he used the word blameless, which is a word that relates to fault. And he says, look, though I may be blamed, I am blameless. They cannot find a cause or a legitimate reason for censuring me or for bringing me before the court. I was blameless. It reminds me of Daniel. When Daniel was serving before the kings, they came, those who were jealous of Daniel, and they were looking for a way that they could get him in trouble with the king. And the Bible tells us the only thing they found about Daniel was that he prayed to God. Someone will look in some way to get you in trouble. Because they hated your relationship to God. They hated your Christianity. They hated the fact that you were witnessing. I wonder if they came to where you work, if they came to your home, if they came to your neighborhood, would they be able to find things so that they could put you up and say, look, this person really isn't real. It was an example-rich ministry. You know, ministry is simply turning to people and saying, follow me as I follow Christ. It's not saying, do as I say, but not as I do. It's saying, look, I am living for Jesus, and I want to follow Jesus. Come along with me. Along the way, we may stumble and fall. Along the way, we might do things that cause to fall short of God's standard, but I am heading in the right direction. All I ask is that you come with me and we follow Jesus. That's ministry. And then I want you to notice it was a goal-oriented ministry. He says that in verse 11 and 12. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. In order to reach his goal, he encouraged, word that means to come alongside to help. He comforted, which means to console. He urged, which is a word that means to insist or to urge on. So when they were up, he encouraged them to do even more. When they were down, he comforted them. And when they looked at the path they were headed to take, he urged them to pursue that path. Why did he do all that? Verse 12. Urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. Why are we here as a church? Well, someone might say we're here to have fellowship. And that would be true. If you came to the fall party we had yesterday, you enjoyed a lot of fellowship, enjoyed, you know, good time. So that would be part of why we're here. You might say, well, we're here to feed the poor. Well, certainly we want to do that. We're going to be doing that as we go to the rescue mission, and we'll be feeding them and sharing the gospel with them and bringing the hats and gloves and things that you bring here. You might say, well, we're here to pray, and we're here to worship. Well, certainly we're here to do that. But I want you to know, as we look at all these different things, what we're here to do is to live lives that are worthy of God. We're here to encourage one another and comfort one another and console one another so that as we live our lives, we might live a life that is worthy of God. Which means that in everything you say and everything you do and everything that you eat and everything that you drink, you bring God glory. The idea of worthy means that you are of weight. If we were to take your life and put it on a scale and your life is over here and God's standard is over here, your life would equal the standard. Your life would equal what God wants you to be and God wants you to do. So why are we here as a church? Purpose of this church is a whole bunch of different things. But overall, it's what's on the wall behind me. We want to open God's word so that your life will be transformed, so that you'll become like Jesus Christ. We want you to live a life that is worthy of God, so you'll become like Christ. It's not hanging behind me? Lord of the Harvest is behind me. It's over on the sidewall. It's usually behind me. It's on the sidewall. Let me ask you this morning. Where are you at in your life? Are you involved in ministering and serving others? Is your life about a caring ministry and a hardworking ministry and a loving ministry? And a ministry that says to others, follow me as I follow Jesus? A ministry that is involved in a person's life to not just inform them of the Bible? I know a lot of people who know about the Bible, but their life is not changing. Our ministry ought to be all about changing lives, transforming lives. That ought to be the very thing that takes up our breath, helping people to become like Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you this morning that we have the privilege of ministry. Father, we know that you could do it all without our help, but we thank you, Lord, that you reach out and you use us. So, Father, I pray that our talents, our treasure, our time, all that you have given us might be available to you. Help us, Father, to be willing to sacrifice our lives. Not in dying, but giving our life a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. And I pray, Lord, that through our individual lives and through our church as a whole, we might reach out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you may be praised. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This time I'll ask our ushers to come forward as we take our morning offering. What you give in the offering is all that we use to carry on that very ministry, to reach out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's pray as we give this morning. Father, we pray your blessing on this offering. May it be used to bring you praise, to bring people to Jesus Christ, so that we may honor you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. These are the five characteristics that ought to be true of our ministry and true of your ministry as an individual. Reaching out to people with the love of God in order to help them to become like Jesus Christ. In order that in all that we do, we might bring God glory. A church ministry is not about coming and sitting in a chair.